President Obama has reportedly authorized the death penalty for an American citizen who has not been convicted of any crime, the evidence against whom has yet to see the light of day, who denies his guilt, and who has not been given the due process, including trial, guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. It is a power not even claimed by the Bush-Cheney administration, extending far beyond Bush-Cheney claims, which even the most conservative Supreme Court justice rejected.
Change has come to America.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a sunny day in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to April the 18th of 2010.
Thank you for your patience, as the last couple of weeks we've taken a bit of a hiatus, 1 week in for Resurrection Sunday and 1week in because, we were both exhausted.
We were both having bad days. I'll just go briefly because I've had a number of emails asking me how I'm doing physically and still undergoing lots of tests. Some people, I think, thought maybe I was losing my voice. Not quite what's going on. It's a muscular problem. Just can't literally flap my jaws for
which is,
very long.
Sort of a requirement when you're trying to do a podcast. The semaphore version of the podcast wasn't very successful when we tried that.
We tried it. It just didn't work. So we'll see how long I could go before my jaw muscles just give out on me.
Well, we've had an awful lot, built up to talk about over these last few weeks. And I think leading off, we'll refer back to the opening audio clip of Keith Olbermann. And it is a rare day and perhaps a sign that the end is in fact near when we can say that we actually agree with Keith Olbermann of MSNBC on anything.
I know. I'm terribly frightened.
I'm shocked and dismayed, frankly. If you're not familiar, Keith Olbermann is a sort of the progressive liberal version of Bill O'Reilly. Essentially a bloviating blowhard who is more often than not just espousing a certain political point of view for the party that he favors.
That's a good way to put it, actually.
Yeah. However, in this case, he is absolutely correct in pointing out something that the media, for the most part, has ignored. And this is astounding for Americans. The president of the United States has gone on record, and it's been revealed in a couple of different venues now, that this administration believes that it has the right and the constitutional authority to designate American citizens for assassination. Absorb that and consider that in light of these cries of freedom and constitutional rights that we keep hearing from the progressive political. Hey, no, just call them liberal. Progressive is a you
well,
know,
the
a PR
assumption
term.
that intelligence that tells you an American citizen overseas is doing is engaged in activities that are contrary to supporting the U.S. and in fact are waging war against the U.S. Where's the trial?
Hey, where's the trial? Where's the evidence?
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed gets a trial.
Yeah. What, and he's an not American, an American citizen.
Exactly. An American citizen doesn't get a trial first. You just get knocked off. At what point is the decision made that, you know what, even if you're on American soil, if we think you are engaging in activities that are contrary to the federal government's goals and what we say is right or wrong, well, I guess we'll just fly a Predator drone over your area, track down your GPS from your phone and take you out.
Yeah. Essentially, the Constitution is the Constitution no longer means anything. And this gets back to the earlier discussion we had about this pendulum, this left-right pendulum that swings in American politics the last couple of decades. There's a columnist for Salon.com, which is more left than right in its political leanings, a fellow named Glenn Greenwald, who often writes on constitutional issues. And I think he hit it right on the head in which he said, in effect, what we've been saying all along, that the Obama administration essentially is trying to put a more polished, pretty face on a policy that even the Bush-Cheney administration did not go so far as to undertake, which is essentially that the United States government feels that it can designate American citizens for assassination without charge, without trial, without any evidence put forward as to why this citizen has been designated for assassination. Mm-hmm. And again, the media has just sort of reported this and just let it lie. The thing that first caught me, and this was a few weeks ago, and this is something I've been saving to rant about until we did a new show.
That explains why your head was near to exploding.
Yes,
for the last
wrapped
couple
in
weeks.
Duct tape. Was the news item that Anwar al-Awlaki, A-W-L-A-K-I, who is the the Yemen-based imam who was allegedly in contact, in communication with Major Hassan down at Fort Hood prior
Isn't
to
he, wasn't his, he over here before that?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was born in New Mexico.
Right.
And he taught, I believe, at a mosque in Virginia before moving to Yemen.
Yeah, and supposedly one of the 9/11 hijackers had been in his mosque at one time.
So the assertion by the federal government of the United States is that al-Awlaki somehow facilitated or encouraged this act of terror at Fort Hood.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been no evidence presented, at least not in the public arena. He's not been charged with anything. He denies his guilt. And again, ultimately, the most important consideration here is that he is a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And under the Constitution, is protected. I mean, he has to be charged and tried.
Well, here's my question. If he's being charged and tried as an accessory to the Fort Hood shooting?
Well, that's the thing. He's not been charged or tried with anything.
Well, because the actual shooter, my understanding is still in the hospital from his
the wounds that he received.
And he will get a trial.
Right. But al-Awlaki has been designated for assassination by the government of the United States. And the Washington Post, in reporting this several weeks ago, just noted very dryly that he'd been added to a secret list of American citizens overseas targeted for assassination by the United States government. I said, wait a minute, added to a list? You mean there are other names on this list? The United States government? The administration of Barack Obama has a list of secret enemies, United States citizens, that it claims the legal authority to kill. Now, can you imagine the outcry from the media if it had come out that President Bush had done something like this?
Oh, it would be all over every left-wing talk show.
And to his credit, Keith Olbermann of MSNBC pointed this out. And Glenn Greenwald of Salon.com, again, more liberal than conservative in its political leanings, pointed this out and said, this is just astounding. And yet the major media has, even Fox News has glossed over this and not even paid attention to it.
You know what? Fox News has been, there's a subtle shift taking place.
Yep.
I was watching Geraldo Rivera last night, which is a program, Geraldo Rivera at Large, which is on Saturday nights, Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
The subject matter had to do with statements that have been out in the press for the last week or so. Bill Clinton was recently quoted as saying that the sort of talk that's rumbling through the internet and various patriot groups is so similar to talk that was going on just prior to the original bombing of the World Trade Center, and then the Oklahoma City bombing.
Which was just about 15 years ago this week.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. The overall tenor of the Geraldo report seemed to lean more toward the left.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised.
Let me finish with that. The conclusion seemed to be that, yes, indeed, why these angry white guys are out there perhaps plotting something evil and some lone nut. I thought, am I watching Fox News at this point? When did you guys start to make this paradigm shift?
And the fact is that it really never has made the paradigm shift. We're not genuinely surprised that Fox News is taking these positions. Yeah, and Geraldo was entitled to his own opinion, which may or may not be that of the network as a whole. I think it's more significant that as another classic example, I think, the Saudi prince, Awalal bin Talid, I think I'm probably massacring his name now, but a minority partner in Fox News has bragged that he got Rupert Murdoch to change the focus of Fox News when it was talking about those Muslim riots in Paris.
Well, exactly. You and I have talked about Fox News a number of times, and it is not a truly conservative, nor is it in any way a Christian.
Absolutely not.
Even though they like to position themselves as such, all you need to do is take a look at the content. Turn the sound down and just watch for a while.
Right.
Look at how short the skirts are on the gals. Look at how most of the gals are gorgeous blondes. Take a look and see how at least once every 2 or 3 hours they manage to put in footage of a Victoria's Secret, you know, model or some sort of salacious photograph. It is not Christian friendly. Sorry, people.
It was strictly a marketing move to position itself as the conservative alternative.
Absolutely.
CNN,
if
MSNBC,
they thought they could have made a bunch of money being the liberal wing, but to get back to Geraldo, they were talking about how post 9/11 all this rhetoric died down. And then Geraldo's brother, who was interviewing the guest, and forgive me, I can't remember the name of the guest, because honestly, another symptom I have lately with whatever's going on is I'm a little bit forgetful. So who are you again? So anyway, I can't remember the name of the guest, but his brother actually asked the guest post 9/11. It quieted down, but it has ramped up again. Sir, do you think this has anything to do with the election of a black president? He literally set up that question for an answer.
Yeah. And the networks have really been playing on them. And I think the most egregious example was when MSNBC ran that story about angry white men carrying loaded automatic weapons to the Obama rally in Phoenix and cut the video to hide the fact that the man who was there with the automatic weapon was in fact an African American.
And then we also really had the Tea Party demonstration in Washington D.C. just at the time of the passage of the health care bill.
Right.
And the whole brouhaha that came out for the next 24-48 hour news cycle that someone had shouted the N-word.
Yeah.
It's now come out that and admitted that no one actually heard that.
Well, except for one guy, Representative Emanuel Cleaver of the Kansas City area, and I'm not sure if he's.
But didn't he come out and say he never really actually heard it?
He's sort of apologized. Jack Cashel, who wrote that book about the shooting down of TWA Flight 800, and also did the textual analysis on Obama's Dreams of My Father and concluded that it was actually probably written by William Ayers. Jack Cashel wrote a column in World Net Daily about that this week, and Cleaver has written an op-ed piece in the Kansas City Star in which he all but apologized for the event because there's been sort of a low-grade simmering racial disturbance going on in Kansas City for the last week or so since that Tea Party event. Where gangs of youths are essentially wandering through some of the tonier areas of Kansas City, those really upscale malls in downtown Kansas City, which are really a showpiece, and just randomly attacking people. But the Kansas City Star isn't reporting on the ethnicity of either the attackers or the victims. But Cashel, who's from the Kansas City area, says it's pretty widely known that this has been stoked by local civil rights leaders who took the story and ran with it. And now Cleaver is sort of backpedaling from that story. So you're right. It was not – if anything happened and there's nothing to – it's entirely possible that an agent provocateur was involved in this because I think the Tea Partiers, at least the ones who are genuinely – angry about the way our federal government is going, the direction it's taking, both under Republican and Democratic leadership, understand that they can be discredited very quickly by charges of racism. And that it would behoove especially the Democratic Party, but either party really, because the Republicans understand that a lot of the people who've signed on to the Tea Party movement are former disgruntled Republicans. Mm-hmm. Either party would have a vested interest in discrediting this Tea Party movement. So we got a number of factors at work here. Only one witness to the event. The guy who was supposedly the victim is backpedaling now and not quite apologizing, but sort of. And it really is a real, it's like watching a slow motion train wreck here, because you just don't see any good end coming to this, especially now that, you know, it's come out that the Tea Party movement, which was very prominently represented at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee meeting in Nashville recently, mm-hmm. was underwritten in large part by Grover Norquist and his American Taxpayers Union. Grover Norquist has been a major power player inside the Republican Party for years, good friends with Karl Rove, and a lobbyist on behalf of guys who were openly connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. which is the parent organization for Fatah, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda. So, and Norquist, who incidentally passes out business cards that are English on one side and Arabic on the other. Now, not to discredit those of Arabic descent, but the fact that Norquist has chosen to represent those of a rather radical strain of Islam.
Norquist is a Scandinavian name.
Yeah, but he's also married an Islamic woman, Palestinian, which under Sharia law, if I understand it correctly, and I may be mistaken on this, but if I understand it correctly, that's just not allowed unless he mm-hmm. has converted to Islam, mm-hmm. which has been alleged by some. Again, don't know that for a fact, and he's not admitted to it. But the point being that Norquist, at the very least, is a power broker inside the Republican Party, and if not, may have some design. Well, his motives are suspect. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. He is certainly not, based on his history, looking to gain anything by dismantling the Republican Party.
Well, let's just look at the Tea Party logically. It came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the very, very, very beginning stages, probably was grassroots,
mm-hmm.
but it went from 0 to 60 so fast.
Right.
There had to be big money behind it. It went from, hey, let's get together and talk about how angry we are at the government on the local level,
right.
a few of us with our little homemade cards, to get on the bus tour.
Yeah.
You know,
the Tea Party
clearly
Express.
Lots of, yes.
Somebody's
exactly,
putting money behind
lots
it.
Lots of money behind it.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me. I think that there are people who go to these rallies who really are concerned about what the government is doing.
Right.
But I think the Tea Party is a straw man in some ways. It's meant to bring disgruntled people out into the open.
Is that what the phrase stalking horse? Is that
stalking horse? Yeah, that's what. Hello, do I know you? Sam says, "Mom, just take off the earphones and go downstairs now." I tell you what, in my spirit, the Tea Party really bothers me. I think there is something about that whole organization that is meant to, as you say, a stalking horse. It's meant to draw people out. And it's part of this big deception that I think way too many well-intended Christians mm-hmm. get pulled into.
And that's the point that we needed to come around to, is that if as Christians we see that the two major parties in the United States offer no alternative really for a conscientious Christian when you go to the polls, then who do we turn to? And I think the answer is you can't look to any movement.
Exactly.
That politics is not the answer.
Exactly.
In fact, I was doing a little bit of reading that I intend to get back to later today on Oliver Cromwell, who was the head of the Puritan revolt against King Charles in the 1650s. And he established a parliament that was in effect tried to codify the Bible into English law, and they ran into some problems in trying to reconcile what they read in the Bible with the English property rights. Apparently there were some that had who weren't willing to give up, and so it eventually ended in failure and the monarchy was reestablished. We saw some attempts to codify Old Testament law in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And yet, even those, you know, under John Winthrop, who tried to establish a, you know, a beacon on a hill, wound up engaging in wholesale slaughter of the Indians within 15 years of landing at Plymouth Rock, you know, the Pequot Indians. So as humans trying to solve spiritual issues through political means or military means is doomed to failure. God never called us to that mission field. I mean, if you're a Christian and you feel called to run for political office and serve in government, you know, good on you. We, you know, the world would be a better place if there were more genuine Christians in positions of government authority. But when we try to impose biblical law, you know, the law of Moses, Mosaic law, through legislation, it's just not going to work. It's not going. You cannot legislate the changing of hearts. That's mm-hmm. a one person at a time project, which is accomplished by going forth and making disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. So the Tea Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party, Constitution Party, none of those are going to serve as a means to the end. And in fact, we are told that the great falling away has to take place before God returns. Now, does that mean we just kind of sit back on our hands and say, well, there's nothing we can do. It's prophesied. We're all going to fall away, great apostasy and all that. So I'm just going to sit here and watch TV and do nothing. No, that's not right. We're save as many as we can.
Exactly. If you can influence those that God brings into your life, one heart at a time.
Yeah. But if history has taught us nothing, whether it's Cromwell and his roundheads or the Roman Catholic Church through the ages, we should know by now that when you start mixing religion and politics, which is essentially control over this earthly realm, then you just wind up with bad results mm-hmm. Because they compromise one another. And it's, as I've said before, heresy becomes treason and political dissent becomes, you know, heresy. So it's...
You know, the on Facebook, in your profile, when you go to someone's profile page, there on the left, you'll see religion. Mm-hmm. Or is that how it's put, religion?
Yeah.
There's one, and I think is it Chuck Missler who puts down, he's a monarchist? I thought, that is great. I love that.
Good point.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Political affiliation. That's what
monarchist. Yeah, as long as you understand that we have no king but Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that he does not fly in Air Force One. Yeah.
No. Oh no.
Well.
Well, you know, total left turn. Speaking of planes, we've had a number of emails about this. We've had a number of phone calls mm-hmm. via Skype mentioning this story, and of course, because we didn't have a show last week, we didn't get to talk about it. But the plane crash in Russia, mm-hmm. the Polish plane that crashed there, and of course, tragically, frankly, decapitated in many ways the Polish government.
Right.
There are aspects to that many of you have said, you know what, this is suspicious. And I got to tell you, I totally agree with you. I think it is suspicious too. And if Air Force One had been taken down like that, the entire world mm-hmm. would be not only in mourning, but trying to figure out what really happened. And imagine if, a dignitary's plane went down in the United States. Mm-hmm. And during the Bush administration, Dick Cheney was put in charge of investigating it. When it was suspicious, there were those who thought perhaps the United States government had been behind it. Mm-hmm. And Dick Cheney was put in personally in charge of investigating it. Well, that's what's going on in Russia. Vladimir Putin
right.
is in charge of investigating it. The plane, the dignitaries were all on that plane because they were on their way to essentially a big kiss and make up ceremony mm-hmm. over Katyn?
Yeah. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but I think Katyn. There was a massacre in a forest of that by that name in 1938
or 39. It was
70 years ago. Oh, so 1940. During World War II, where Russian special forces took something like 22,000 Polish army officers out into this forest and massacred them. 22,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An interesting number.
Yeah. And this was the event that Polish President Lech Kaczynski and other dignitaries were on their way to attend, basically a reconciliation ceremony. Mm-hmm. In addition to Kaczynski and his wife, the head of Poland's central bank was on the plane. So, you know, imagine if...
Military leaders.
Yes, a number of military leaders who obviously were there to...
And I think one of the heads of the church or a couple of heads of the church from Poland.
Yeah. It was a... I think you put it well. You know, essentially the government was decapitated. So the plane crashed in Russia, and you're right. Vladimir Putin... former KGB is mm-hmm. In charge of the investigation. So
it is very suspect. And of course, right after it happened, I got online and found as many videos as I could. And I was watching as much footage as I could of the crash site. And I'm not a pilot, but like with many of you, I've seen an awful lot of footage of crashed planes on the news. I mean, I would say most of us have grown up in an era where when there's a plane crash, you very quickly get footage of that plane. Mm-hmm. And a plane that crashes in fog doesn't generally have a huge debris field with tiny, tiny pieces all over the place. In other words, this plane almost looked like it had blown up.
Mm. Yeah, the story is that it clipped some trees and then went down on its approach to the airport. The story that was put out shortly after the crash back on the 11th was that the pilot had been asked by ground controllers to divert to an alternate airfield and that he ignored those instructions.
Well, the original story was that he had circled around three or four times mm-hmm. and had been warned off a number of times, and he finally insisted on landing. That has now been revised by the Russian press. They say, no, actually he only made one pass, and he was warned once, and he then landed. What I have read online from men and women who are pilots, the notion that this man, this pilot, would have simply crashed because of the fog is a little out there, because if you can fly on instruments, you can land in the fog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The instruments won't show you the tree line, but again, if you've got instruments that are guiding you into you should be able to avoid those, you would think. And
yeah.
You're right. The video that was taken shortly after the crash on what looks like somebody's cell phone revealed a pretty wide debris field and lots of little parts.
Yeah, lots and lots of little parts. Toward the end of the video that you and I watched, you can see the responders coming in and starting to put out the fires. And at the very end of that video, I don't know if you watched it all the way through, you can hear gunfire. And it could be that the gunfire is simply coming from guard units that were there. I mean, we're talking mm-hmm. about an airport that was expecting a plane full of dignitaries
mm-hmm.
in Smolensk. So we'll just have to assume that the gunfire may have nothing to do with it. But I've also read online, again, this is just what's reported online, I can't say it's true or not, that there was gunfire that was heard prior to the crash.
Hmm.
Now,
unsubstantiated reports, but...
it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Just trying to think with my imagination. Okay, what could have happened? Could it be that the pilot was warned off, do not land here, and the pilot insisted on landing there, and so men on the ground with weapons who were guards, perhaps they thought, okay, has this plane been hijacked? Why is it insisting on landing? I honestly don't know. So I'm trying to be devil's advocate, mm-hmm. trying to come up with a reason why there may have been gunfire prior to the plane crashing. But of course, the worst case scenario, if indeed that report is true, is that they were firing at the plane. Now, I'm not saying I know that happened. I'm just saying, if someone is saying that there was gunfire before and it's true, then what were these people shooting at?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this may be one of those that, no further information
exactly.
is forthcoming.
Exactly. We may never know. And, of course, the memorial service was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually delayed a few days because of the next story we're going to talk about,
right?
The Iceland volcano.
Yeah, the volcano is putting out so much ash, it essentially has grounded air travel all across Europe, which is costing airlines, you know, millions and millions of euros. Some 80 foreign leaders that were planning to attend the ceremony, including President Obama, were not able to get in because they can't fly through that that ash cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, volcanic ash is does bad things to jet engines.
Yeah, it isn't that they wouldn't be able to see.
Right.
It's just that the particulates within the ash cloud are volcanic glass and other things like that that will just they'll kill an engine.
Yeah, they you know clog it and you know basically destroy parts on the inside because they're a little tougher than your typical just you know dust particles, smoke particles. Which, by the way, is another thing about the movie 2012 that was really stupid.
Anyway, we could talk about that later if you want to.
No time.
I didn't even write a few.
Only four episodes left.
Don't tell me what I can't do.
It is an interesting thing to bear in mind. And I struck me as funny that the volcano is basically spewing its ash, which is socked in the airport in Copenhagen, among others, after the Copenhagen Earth Summit. And by the way, the United States Senate saying, oh, hey, we're going to announce our cap and trade legislation on April 26th. Mm-hmm. So watch for that coming out within the next week or so. Being written by John Kerry, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, and independent, in air quotes, Joe Lieberman. So they're getting one of every flavor on that one. But the smoke, the carbon footprint of this Icelandic volcano is substantial, and this is not even a particularly large volcano. There's a scale that runs from like 1 to 8, and it's sort of like the scale of for earthquakes, that each number is a logarithmic progression. So a 5 on this volcano scale is 10 times stronger than a 4 and continues on. And this volcano in Iceland has not yet been officially rated, but one volcanologist said it's somewhere between a 2 and a 3. By contrast, Mount St. Helens was a 4. What was the big one? Pinatubo, earlier this century, was somewhere around a 6 or 7, somewhere in there.
What was Krakatoa?
I don't know. I didn't read the article down that far to see if they even mentioned Krakatoa. But just imagine on the day when his voice shakes the earth and we see the sun turning, you know, black as sackcloth, that how intense the geological disturbances will be across planet Earth.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that phrase because it's something I kept thinking as I was reading the stories about the ash plume grounding the plains and wondering what the how it might be changing the aspect of the sun and the color of the moon over there, because when you got ash in the air, it definitely will change the appearance of the skies.
Mm-hmm. Moon will turn as red as blood.
Well, that's what's in the Bible, that the sun will become black as sackcloth and the moon will turn to blood. That's what Jesus told us would precede the great and terrible day of the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? I mean, it could be that we're seeing just a little tease of what that may be like. I'm betting that people who are relying on solar energy may be rethinking that.
Yeah. Huh. Gee, that doesn't always work. Well, the timing of this, too, is all interesting because Earth Day is coming up this week. The 22nd of April is celebrated as Earth Day by environmentalists and Gaia worshippers around the planet. And now there are Christian organizations that are attempting to sign on and show us that being green is a biblical thing to do.
I listened to a little bit of the gentleman talking. You were watching a video earlier. Derek and I sit in the same room and we're both on the internet, and he'll have, you know, movies playing and I'll have movies playing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we'll be reading articles and cross talking. We're essentially doing PID radio all day long. It's you only get to hear the recorded part of it out of a small portion of our day. We talk like this all day long. But what killed me is the other night you had your new phone out and you were tweeting on it.
Yep. Had the laptop open, the new phone and the new smartphone and all that other fun stuff.
But you were watching that video about the Earth Day thing. And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. There's a ministry that is called Blessed Earth. You'll find them online at blessedearth.org that is doing a simulcast on the 21st from a church in Orlando, Florida. And the purpose, again, is to teach other Christians that God is green, apparently, and that we as Christians need to involve ourselves in creation care. Now, I kind of view this the same way I view the Manhattan Declaration and the Civility Covenant, which I want to talk about here in just a minute as well. If as a Christian, I profess my belief that the Word of God is contained within the covers of the Bible and that it's inerrant in the original languages, then that I believe what it says. I don't think there's any middle ground where you can say I believe some of it, but not all of it. Because in what sense then are you a Christian if you just pick and choose the parts that you want to follow
exactly.
or believe?
Exactly, and you can't pick a verse out of context
right.
and say, I'm going to use this to support my argument.
Right.
You have to take it all within context.
Right. And I believe that you can, from Scripture, see in there that we as Christians are to be good stewards of the earth. So why do I need to come forward and make that the focus of my ministry? That's just part of living my everyday life.
There's a big difference between being a good steward and worshiping the earth.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe that this, and unless we're misunderstanding the thrust of what this ministry is attempting to do, it appears to me to be blurring the lines between being a good steward of the earth and making that the focus of our ministry. And anytime we take the Great Commission and make it secondary to any cause, whether it's politics or environmentalism, we're losing our focus as Christians. We're losing our focus on the prime directive, which is to go forth and make disciples of all nations. Now, there's a lot encompassed in all of that. I mean, as we see from the book of James, that the epistle of James, that faith without works is dead. So those works include helping the sick and the poor and the downtrodden and the needy. I mean, that's just part and parcel of being a follower of Jesus Christ. But again, when we make politics the means to that end, or we make environmentalism our cause and say that, the best way we can help the poor is by living a sustainable life. Like, no, sorry, you're missing the point again. You've become distracted from the mission. You've allowed yourself to be distracted from the mission. The fellow behind the Blessed Earth website has got a what's the name of his book is The Gospel According to the Earth,
something like that.
I'm sorry, it's getting treading over into Gaia territory.
And it really bothers me that you can buy that at so-called Christian bookstore.
Christian, but you notice that
really bothers me.
Zondervan is one of the sponsors of his
webcast.
I know,
and that really bothers me because the gospel group I used to travel with was sponsored by Zondervan.
Yeah. Zondervan, of course, a major publisher in the Christian world, but they put out a lot of stuff that would be considered heretical or should be considered heretical.
Well, I wonder, Michael, Matthew Sleeth, have you ever read the book of Revelation? Huh?
Yeah.
God, who you say has charged man with being good stewards and taking care of the earth, Gaia, being green, in the book of Revelation, you see that he is essentially taking out the rivers, taking out the oceans, moving mountains out of their places. I mean, a lot of the bold judgments fall upon the earth. Mm-hmm. It's as if God is saying, you know what? This is not a goddess. This is my creation. I will do with it as I please.
Yeah.
And you and your green machine, I can ungreen this earth. Like that.
Yeah. Now, again, take good care of the blessings that we've been given through the earth. And I think I've really come to see in, the little bit of dealings I've had with the farmers who come to, buy raw materials, things that they need to fix up machinery, where I work. And you've made this point, too, having lived the life of, a farmer. that farmers are among the greenest of the people on the face of the planet, because they just have to be. It's us city folk who tend to just live a sort of disposable lifestyle and throw stuff away all the time. I'm all in favor of recycling. I'm all in favor of conserving. But when we cross that line to worshiping Mother Earth,
The video you were watching, it really did appear that their Mother Earth was sprouting up these monolithic sort of.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
That was just really creepy.
Echoes of 2001: Space Odyssey.
It was very
Odyssey.
Pagan.
Yeah, it was really creepy. And again, just kind of ironic that this event is taking place while the volcano in Iceland is spewing out a carbon footprint that is the envy of any industrialized nation.
Well, I'm glad you brought the volcano back up, because I wanted to get back to that before we completely dispense with the volcano. So remind me here in a second if you have anything else you want to say.
No, that's
politically. The timing of that volcano going off, I think, is really, really something we need to take a look at. Again, the Lord is in charge of things. He allows things to happen according to his timetable. And his timetable, I really do think that we're in the final moments, as far as the length and breadth of time. We're in the final moments, the final breaths before Jesus Christ returns. And by that I mean he could return before I finish the sentence, or it may be the next few years, or I don't know. But anyway, Israel has been sending their planes up into Eastern Europe as test runs to show that these planes could indeed go the length, go the distance to Iran if they had to. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. There have been overflights over the various stand states and things like that. If that ash cloud continues to come down, were it to track down toward the Middle East, I think that Israel could get into a tough spot where they would find it difficult to send their planes out if they felt like they had to strike Iran sometime this summer. The reason I'm bringing this up now is because Hezbollah is about to take receipt, and may already have taken receipt, of some Scud missiles sent to them by Syria, which puts a whole new spin on Hezbollah.
It gives them some capacity, some strike capability they haven't had.
Exactly. In fact, they will be able to strike southern Israel from Lebanon. I think that Israel has to really look at this seriously, and my understanding is that they are looking at it very seriously. Mm-hmm. President Obama is, on the face of things, appears very anti-Israel right now. He's denying them weapons that we had promised them.
Bunker busters,
Bunker busters that he rerouted over to Diego Garcia when they were supposed to go to Israel. Iran is coming right out and saying, you know what, we will be capable of nuclear weapon manufacture here within a matter of months, maybe sooner.
Yeah, and I think more significantly for American listeners, the threat by President Ahmadinejad that if there were a strike on Iran's nuclear capabilities, that nuclear devices would be detonated inside American cities.
So now I want to get to why I talked about things happening in God's timing, and why I think that this is a particularly interesting time for many of these things to be occurring. The friction that's taking place in Europe, between Europe and Russia, the whole Greece bailing out of the European stock market, and Germany possibly ready to pull out of the EMU, which is the monetary union of Europe. We're about to hit an extremely significant date on the calendar. April 19, April 20.
Right.
Those are dates that have echoed through the last couple of decades. And even going back into the late 19th century, because it was in the late 19th century on April 20th when an extremely well-known and very evil man was born.
Adolf Hitler.
And if we can just name off the things that have happened on the 19th. April 19th, that was the end of the siege at Waco.
Mm-hmm.
April 19th, that was the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right.
April 20th, the Columbine High School shooting. That was on the 20th, right?
I believe it was 21st, but I'll double check that. I think it's either the 20th or the 21st.
April 21st of this year is the 111th day of the year. We've seen 11-11, 1-11, multiples of 11 over and over again. Another multiple 11, of course, is that Barack Obama is the 44th president mm-hmm. of the United States. There have been 11s all over the place.
You were correct, by the way. It was the 20th was when Columbine took place.
Yeah, I thought it was.
You're right. And interesting multiples of these significant numbers, at least as far as occultists are concerned. And we want to thank Cindy in Tampa for calling this to our attention.
Yes.
The 33rd mission of NASA's space shuttle fleet, which is STS-131, sort of an inverted double 13, mm-hmm. Which is a 13-day mission, which they usually are, will land tomorrow, April 19th, back here in the United States. And this is the first mission that put to four women in space.
Mm-hmm.
So significant from that perspective as well. So we'll be watching and, praying for the safety of the astronauts as they return from the International Space Station.
Exactly. I think we should all be really paying attention to what goes on in the news for the next 24 to 48 hours with the memes that have been out there over and over again. Lone nut, white, angry white guys, suitcase nukes, things like that. Again, we're not saying these things to scare you. We're really, really not. Derek and I consider ourselves watchmen on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is, if we see something off in the distance, to warn you in advance.
Yeah.
And you know what? As it gets closer, we may realize, you know what? Hey, that's Uncle Charlie. You know, we thought that looked like so-and-so, and he had a gun, and it turns out to be Uncle Charlie, and he's waving a stalk of celery. You know, he just is hungry. We don't claim to be prophets. We are not prophets.
Oh, absolutely
not. We are
in
no way prophets. We simply call them as we see them, and we're not always right.
Yeah.
In fact, we're generally not.
That's right.
Right.
And like the New Apostles movement, in which you can be right, half the time and still call yourself a prophet. No, here we are definitely not prophets and often not for profit.
No.
Not officially for profit, but just sort of accidentally happens that way.
Hey, we made that $2 on the checking account last year.
Well, there we go.
I know.
And that gets to an issue we'll talk about here as we mention all of the kind people who were who called us on our 24/7 voicemail line here shortly. But just a question about how do you process all this information? We'll definitely address that here in just a couple of minutes. A couple of other quick things to touch on, just because, again, we got a lot of stuff that backed up, and so we really don't have a lot of time to devote to a lot of these things. This weekend wraps up a big emergent church conference, where Brian McLaren, who is sort of a leader in this emerging church movement, gathered together with a number of others to talk about, the emerging church movement is essentially universalism warmed over. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what it is. When you read McLaren's books, A New Kind of Christian and A New Kind of Christianity, it essentially is just an old kind of universalism. It's all good. Everybody's going to heaven. That's what mm-hmm. it boils down to. So they had a big conference this week. Even though the theme of the conference was how we get there determines where we will arrive, it's like, yeah, but you guys are saying that how you get there doesn't really matter. So that's kind of,
mm-hmm.
What was the other thing? The clergy in Houston kind of running into a dilemma. Of course, Joel Osteen of Lakeview Church, largest church on the planet probably, did the blessing for the new mayor of Houston, who's the first openly homosexual mayor in this city's history. She's a lesbian. Now the clergy down there are all upset because she's issued a number of executive orders that make sexual orientation and or gender identity protected classes. So you cannot discriminate against someone based on their gender identity. I mean, sexual orientation, okay, that's one thing. Gender identity, if I feel like a woman today, can I use the women's bathroom and you not discriminate against me? Please. I mean, this gets into the territory where, we're so enlightened now that we've enlightened ourselves beyond the point that, 7-year-old can tell the difference between what is and ought not to be. Mm-hmm. And yet we got grown-ups who are like, well, no, gender identity, you can't discriminate against. Well, come on, please. I mean, there's certain facts of biology that just are, and let's just, you know, not try to blur those lines and go further down into this, you know, the path that God declared immoral before the Canaanites had been pushed out of the land in front of the Hebrews. Moving over to the world of science, we've talked about this before, but apparently now this has come to fruition, pardon the pun. Scientists in the UK have created designer embryos now using genetic mm-hmm. material from three parents, mm-hmm. which we thought was significant at the time that we first talked about it, because the
Gilgamesh.
The ancient Sumerian king Gilgamesh claimed that he was two-thirds human and one-third god, or was it the other
two-thirds
way around?
God.
Two-thirds god and one-third human. And now science has now come up with a way that they can actually manipulate the genes inside the egg to make it possible to have a two-third, one-third parent ratio, apparently. But further, human genes are now in New Zealand to be injected into goats, cows, and sheep to see if the goats and cows in particular will produce milk with human enzymes. But the milk will be discarded for the next 20 years while they study this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. A lot of people came out to protest what, you know, this move of the government in New Zealand, because apparently goats have an amazing ability to escape confinement. So just
they do in Farmville.
Well, yeah, and everything we know about, you know, farming, we've learned from Farmville. But just like Bayer, the multinational, you know, corporation, mm-hmm. has been forced to pay up in a lawsuit filed by a couple of farmers in Missouri because Bayer's genetically modified rice, which was not approved for human consumption, infected their crops. About 30% of these fellows' crops were cross-pollinated with Bayer's experimental GMO rice. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing will happen with
our time's up.
You know, Sam is beginning a movie saying, you guys are coming closer. So just so you, in case you didn't know, it's getting, you know, within 10 minutes. So we'll keep an eye on that, because we're going to see more and more of this.
We could do 3 hours just on GMO foods,
right,
and genetic engineering that's taking place right now. It's just ate-up-ism.
In New York, what's supposed to be an artistic display has got the police up in arms, because the this project, which is called Event Horizon, is essentially a group of 27, or three cubed, life-sized and anatomically correct nudes that have been bolted to various buildings and ledges and other structures around the city. And people looking from ground level see what they think are people standing on the ledges of buildings ready to jump and commit suicide. So the New York Police Department has been responding to these calls and getting kind of irritated about this.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that, again, you've got the 27 figures, which, while lifelike, when you see pictures of them taken from behind, and I give credit here to Chris Knowles and his excellent Secret Sun blog for making us aware of this story, and he's posted some pictures showing these statues from behind. They appear to have, between the shoulder blades, a couple of, well, it looks like, they look like angels that have had their wings torn off, okay? And so what you've got here are these so-called watchers standing on these tall buildings in New York that look like fallen angels. Now, that may sound crazy, but one of the statues is on a building on 33rd Street facing the Empire State Building, which, when you look at the shape, you realize is nothing more than a giant obelisk.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of an interesting little bit of...
I find the number so curious. 27, I've talked about this before, and I think I've even written an article about it. 27 is a number that we're seeing over and over again. It's another one of those little numbers in the memes. 27 nations in the EU, 27 planets required to make the Doomsday Machine in Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
27 angels here in this case, 27 kilometers in the Large Hadron Collider.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as you say, it's 3 cubed, which is
the 3 to the 3rd, right?
Yeah.
So interesting, and if you want more in-depth on that, we recommend Chris Knoll's post at the Secret Sun blog. I'll put a link to that in the show notes at PIDradio.com, where you'll also find the phone number for our 24/7 voicemail line for your comments, questions, and suggestions. That's country code 1-317-489-9350. And we had a bunch of calls backed up.
Did. Of course, it's been 2 weeks. And again, we apologize. We simply don't want to pick and choose which ones we're going to play because we feel that that's being unfair. It's all or nothing, as Adouani would say.
Yep.
And since we don't have the time to play them all, because many of the calls go, 10 minutes or longer.
Yeah. Good information.
And we don't want to edit them.
Right.
We really
right.
don't feel like that's a fair thing to
right.
do either. But we love listening to your calls, and we're so grateful for those who call in. And lots of times you give us good tips or good questions. So
right. And
Derek,
we mentioned
took some notes.
Yeah. Cindy in Tampa, who talked again about the women in space on this STS 131 mission. Returning to Earth tomorrow, April 19th. Mm-hmm. She also mentioned Pennsylvania Big Four lottery drawing recently on March 31st. 331 drew the number 7777 and paid out $7.77 million.
Mm-hmm. And we checked on that story. The AP did report when I first heard it, I thought, okay, was this a rumor? Was this a joke?
Right.
No? No, indeed, AP reported as a legitimate story.
And the story was published on April 2nd, so we thought, okay, is this an April Fool's joke? Is it referring back to something put out there on 4-1? No, actually, the drawing took place on 3-31. So 3-31 of 10, so you got 3-3-1-1-0. So mm-hmm. a 33 and 11 there, so significant numbers there. And thanks to Cindy and Tampa for that. Brother Cuba called to say hello. Jeff in Beaverton, Beaverton, Oregon, talked about the Portland booms.
He did. He made a good point that the official story, of course, is it's pipe bombs, which I had read. But he even questioned, is it possible that this is being floated out there as part of the whole meme? We're supposed to be afraid. People are, they're getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Portland area, it's interesting. As he says, it's very liberal, leans far to the left.
Yeah.
But wasn't there a group that was supposedly training up in that area?
Wasn't it that part of the country where John Muhammad?
Yes.
The
that was
Beltway
the area
sniper.
Where they saw this little area where they'd been shooting at trees and things.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and see how close to Portland that was, but it was out in the Pacific Northwest anyway.
And of course, there's that famous coffee company with a very interesting logo.
Oh yes. He also Jeff made a recommendation for a guest, Pastor Billy Crone. So we'll definitely look into that. John Wilkerson, the Jesus Geek, jesusgeek.info, called with a suggestion on dealing with email spam. We have implemented a new tool from our hosting company, Bluehost, to eliminate spam. So if you send a note to radio@peeringintodarkness.com and it bounces back to you asking for confirmation that you are who you say you are, that's the reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what it's like spam crusher or something. I don't know.
I hope it helps because, honestly, I don't need all those things that they're offering me in the emails.
Yeah. But if you go through Facebook, you can get to us just as quickly and easily that way. So.
Well, and those of you who have written to me in Facebook, I think you've discovered that. I if you could stand the profanity, South Park has a send up of Facebook that is just so funny.
Yeah.
But it's just.
Facebook ate my life, basically.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The language is not appropriate. Sorry, but it is funny. Sorry.
Who else? We heard from Ed in Boston, who called about the Poland plane crash, the plane crash in Russia of the Polish president mm-hmm. and the other government leaders there. And Ed, we're right there with you. We agree. Something doesn't quite smell right about it.
No, it is so odd. I mean, and again, 70, that's a biblical number for it to have been exactly 70 years. This whole forgiveness thing, 70 times 7, the captives who were taken to Babylon, they were told they would be there for 70 years.
Right.
That prompted Daniel to start praying, okay, it's been 70 years, Lord. When do we get to go?
Mm-hmm. And here they are basically wiped out. And of course, Vladimir Putin is going to tell us exactly why it happened. Rick in Tennessee was asking about just information regarding the Roman Catholic Church and, you know, additional books of the Bible. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church recognizes the Apocrypha.
Well, the original King James had
the original King James had the Apocrypha in there, too. Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
it also
right.
had astrological signs.
Feast days and saints days and things like that. So, it's basically – it's a long journey, Rick. We're certainly not – and don't claim the mantle of Bible scholars, which is why we're going back and trying to be faithful this year about reading through the Bible and making that a habit that continue for the rest of my life because like many Christians, sometimes I don't know what I should be righteously angry about because I don't know enough about what's actually in the Bible to know on what ground I'm standing. And then Dean called, or David, I should mention, gave us a website to check out as far as prophecy. So we'll do that and report on that later. And Dean called with a good topic suggestion, which basically refers back to something we talked about earlier. How do you process all of this information without being just morbidly depressed?
You have to get away from it, for one thing. You can't be at the internet constantly.
Right.
You do have to live a real life.
Yeah. And remember the words of Jesus when he talked to the apostles and said, you're going to see all of these things. But when you see them, look up because your redemption is drawing near. So while we're seeing the world literally going to hell, remember that these are the signs of his return. And it should do two things. Number one, it should give us, you know, comfort and encouragement, but it should also, I pray, light in me a fire to share the good news with friends, with family, with coworkers, with anybody when the Holy Spirit opens an opportunity to do it. And I've noticed over the years that when opportunities have arisen, I haven't been intimidated or scared like I used to be. I know that there are, and I work with some people who say that, well, religion is fine, but it really doesn't have a place in the real world. And I think I can understand where they're coming from, because when I was younger, I used to think, well, you know, this isn't something you can talk about because it's just, you know, people get mad or, you know, they call you stupid for believing in an invisible, you know, an imaginary friend, you know, that kind of thing. And thankfully the Holy Spirit's got me past that. And maybe for me, it took the evidence, and really considering the evidence so that I knew that I've got a firm logical basis to know that I'm operating in the reality based universe here and not, you know, creating a universe of wishful thinking, and that the sum total of the universe is that which I can perceive with my own senses. You didn't require that kind of journey to get to where you are. But however we get there, the point is that Jesus has given us that prime directive to make disciples of all nations, to share the evidence for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus with gentleness and respect, and knowing that the world around us is collapsing under the weight of its sin, that and our sin, that we don't have much time, but, you know, take heart and to use a phrase that Sean Hannity has appropriated for himself, and it really ticks me off every time I hear him say let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus is coming back. And if you know him, then you're in the lifeboat. You know, you've got your get out of hell free card.
Hannity, sorry, but you are not Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so applying it to a political situation is borderline heretical. It's just, you know, don't appropriate the words of our Lord and Savior for your own personal use. That says something about how seriously you take the issues involved. So I know there's going to be sorrow, then there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because there are family members, there are good friends we have, people that we like, genuinely like and respect, who have just not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they will not. And that is tragic.
Because that's what free will is all about.
But that's, God created us that way. If he created us so that we would choose him every single time, then we're no better than sock puppets. You know, he gave us free will so that we could make that choice. And many will not make, will just refuse to make that choice. So Dean, I don't know that there's a way to put a happy face on the whole picture out there, But we know that while we see things decaying and falling apart around us, as we see the so-called leaders of Christianity around the world, and especially here in the United States, preaching heresy from the pulpit, look up, because it means his return draws ever nearer.
Amen. Amen.
So, you have comments and questions for us? That number again is country code 1-317-489-9350, and we will listen to those before we do the program.
We want to make sure that we thank the wonderful people who
helped
to underwrite us this couple weeks that were kind enough to send in donations.
And that would include...
And again, we don't really expect you guys. The only reason we put a donation button up is because we got so many emails from people asking us to do it.
Yeah, it seemed like easier than responding individually with every single email that came in. So
yeah.
We deeply appreciate and do not take for a moment.
We don't take one penny lightly.
Chris in Virginia, and I'm going to mispronounce this name, and my apologies for it. Kader in Belgium. So, I mean, this is a global.
How's it spelled?
K-A-D-E-R. Kader? Kader?
Yeah. I don't know.
Forgive us for not pronouncing correctly.
Kader?
Don't know. Jared in Washington once again. Thank you, sir. We deeply appreciate it. Carbaugh in Tennessee. And, of course, I'll be down in his neck of the woods this coming weekend for the Last Days Conference.
That's right. When do you start that? Thursday, Friday?
I'll be going down on Thursday afternoon and meeting with Tom Dunn. He's going to be doing some interviews that he's going to work into a documentary about the conference after everything is all said and done. John in North Carolina, Daniel in California, and Rick, who sent us by snail mail a donation. Again, thank you. Thank you very much for your friendship and your support and your prayers, which we covet most of all.
Amen. Amen. Those prayers, they're the most important of all. They really are. And thank you so much for those.
Your prayers, especially this week for Sharon's health and for safe travel to and from Nashville, will be appreciated. And especially for that conference, if you pray for all the participants in that conference. And you'll find a link in the show notes at PIDradio.com as to who will be there to present. And you follow the link to the Last Days Conference website. You can find out a little bit more about what they will be talking about. And again, while I'm there, I will be live tweeting rather than live blogging. Twitter seems to be a tool tailor-made for this kind of event.
Besides, it's so much fun on your phone.
That's true. Phone or laptop. I've got them all set up. And I'll be posting comments and photos and maybe short video clips as well from the Last Days Conference for the benefit of those who can't get there.
Or stick figure drawings, depending on, you know, what you're able to do.
No, I can't even draw stick figures. So, lines.
Sock puppets? Yeah. No time!
Yeah. The Last Days Conference Untangled. That will be at the PID Radio Twitter feed. So you'll find a link to the Twitter feed at PIDradio.com. So if you want to follow that, and I'll be putting all those posts with the hashtag in front of it, which is #LastDays. If you're familiar with Twitter, you can use that information to do a search so that just those posts with that tag will come up. And,
now, have you looked to make sure that hash isn't used by somebody else?
Well, there are other people who are using it a lot, but I figured I can turn that around because there are people who are searching for Last Days tags who may not know about the conference. So they're going to get deluged next weekend with all this information, good information.
So from there you go.
The likes.
Well, because of that event and your traveling, we will not have a PID radio next Sunday, probably.
Probably
but
not.
But you will have a VFTB up.
Right.
If the Lord provides, because you're going to have opportunity to talk to many wonderful people down there. Maybe one of those interviews will be up. And your guest tonight is?
The Collins Boys. We're actually doing a Collins Brothers twofer today because, I interviewed them a couple of weeks back about President Obama and the conflict with within his administration. In trying to work ahead for this conference, we sort of lapped ourselves, and I interviewed them again before I got the first one posted. So I've got two interviews with the Collins Boys in the can, so we'll do them tonight. But I think they relate to one another. One is about the desire of President Obama to be a transformer while he's being guided and financed by technocrats who want to see the world transformed along the lines of a scientific dictatorship. And then the second interview will deal with what they call an information cartel, specifically the RAND Corporation. And the point of the interview is examining whether a president can actually be a transformer if the information that he's fed is very carefully filtered and presented within a very narrow and approved range of choices. So in other words, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, is the old saying for computer programmers. If the president is only presented with a range of options that have already been vetted by his corporate masters, how much can he actually transform?
Good question.
And that's at the heart of their book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. So it's sort of a couple hours of deep politics with the Collins brothers that'll be going up tonight.
Excellent. Now, you interviewed Tom Dunn. Was that what went up last week? Sorry, again,
right.
Forgetful.
Right.
If you've not yet listened to that, he is the gentleman who put together the conference down in the Nashville area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't listened to last week's VFTV, View from the Bunker, I'm going to make sure you do that. My jaws are giving out.
Well, on that note then, since that's time, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river. There's a new day coming.
edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.